Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee. And he began to be grieved and distressed, and he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." The Gospel of the Lord. You can be seated. I picked a gospel lesson, which was really a last night lesson, but it speaks of a today reality, Good Friday reality. Now, I've spoken about this some in years past. It's always astounded me. You have to remember, again, the Scripture talks about two things in relationship to the cross and the finished work of Christ. It talks about a mystery hidden for ages that's now been revealed, and that mystery being Christ. And he talks about the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God, for CTKers, you remember, we've talked about this some in the last year or two, is the wisdom, it's what was God's wisdom going to be to undo the fall of man, to rescue man from his fallen condition, his slavery to sin and demonic oppression. And that wisdom was a mystery for ages. But when Christ appeared, Christ revealed the mystery of the wisdom of God that had been hidden, was no longer hidden. And the mystery that had been, that was revealed, the wisdom of God was, is that the only solution for mankind was death and resurrection. And so at the cross, God's great solution, God's great wisdom was manifested. When I think about Good Friday and I think about Easter weekend, it's impossible for me to just think about how much God loved me and that he would die for me without also thinking about this was his solution for me. This is because of the wisdom of God. It seemed foolish to the Jews and the Greeks, but the cross is God's wisdom because, again, the only solution for the fall of man was death and resurrection. And at the cross, Jesus took collective humanity in his person, sinful collective humanity in his person, and the old creation was crucified. The old order was crucified and buried. And in union with his resurrection on Sunday, a whole new creation was raised up. We'll see the consummation of that one day when we see the new heavens and the new earth. But Jesus purchased that 2,000 years ago. And because of what he did, that taking collective humanity and crucifying the old, raising up anew, those who say yes to his solution, those who by faith receive that gift, who are, quote, born again, they enter in to the reality of a transformed person. They're literally born again into a new creation because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross. Not just a patched up old, not just a person who wasn't religious, now he's dusted off the non-religious stuff, and now he's going to be religious or she's going to be religious, but a whole new creation in union with the resurrected Christ who has supernatural capacity to live a life of purpose and destiny in God's plan. That's the wonder of all this. And when Jesus was praying, when he went the second time to pray in the garden, it says he went away a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done." What's that? If this cannot pass away unless I drink it. If fallen and broken humanity, if the effects of the fall, if the destruction of the enemy on humanity can't be done away with unless I drink it, then I'll drink it. If that's the only solution, then I'll drink it. And that was his whole motivation. That was the Father's heart. I was thinking about this week, actually, kind of all week long, about God's final solution to the fall of man, crucifixion and resurrection. And I thought about my two sons. And I thought about the fact that what if I knew that one of my sons were to come to me and tell me that they were in a situation or a circumstance that was creating great pain and great stress for them, and they did not know how to get out of it. And it was a surprise to me to realize that. That thing would shoot to the top of my prayer list because my heart for them would be crying out for God to come and deliver, to rescue, to change, to transform the situation, because to watch my son or sons go through something like that would be the most significant issue in my heart, in my life. And then it made me think about the Father. And this is what it says about the Father and Jesus and the cross. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become, or we might be, the righteousness of God in Christ. Now think about that. I would be so grieved to find out that my sons were in a situation, but could I choose intentionally to put them in that situation? To purposely choose, knowing they're going to be placed into that situation of great pain and stress? But it says here about Jesus that the Father chose, and Jesus said yes to his choice. The Father chose. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. It says that he, the Father, made him who had never sinned to be sin. Not just die for sin, but to be sin. Why? On our behalf. That verse alone should totally transform your understanding of your value as a person. That on your behalf, the Father loved you so much, he didn't just stand back and allow his son or grieve over his son going through this trauma. He chose this trauma for his son, and there's never been any trauma like this. Can you imagine? All of us have known people. We've known ourselves at times when we've sinned and how we grieved, the pain we felt in our own heart. You've known people who live broken lives. And if you can get past being frustrated with them or angry with them because they're broken lives, there comes a place where you move into compassion going, and you start thinking, even the most evil person, the torment that they must experience in their heart. Jesus took in his person collective humanity and became sin. Probably the most horrible thing I've ever witnessed in the natural is the disease, the virus called Ebola. It happens a lot in Uganda where we've been, and there have been times when, well, at least one time when we were almost chased out of the country because of it. But it's the most horrific way a human being can die. It's unbelievable. They bleed through their pores. It's just incredible. Their organs on the inside basically melt away. And the pain and the suffering they go through is incredible. What if a person became Ebola? And they became that disease, that horrible epidemic, that thing, that what if they became that? And then died so they could kill it. So the humanity wouldn't have to be under its dominion ever again. Jesus became sin. And then he took it to this place of death and killed it. So that you and I could be free from sin's dominion. Can we choose to sin? Yes. But do we have to sin as believers? No. Because Jesus set us free from its dominion. He took every person and all their sin and all the grief and all the anguish and all the brokenness, all the sorrow, all the torment any human beings ever experienced, every human being. I watched Winston last night, was at my house, and he's learning words. And one of the words he can say is everybody, but it's everybody. He was trying to get out the door. And he was trying to say, can somebody come here and open the door? But he's like going, everybody. Jesus took everybody and all their anguish and all their pain and all their sin. He became sin so he could die, having become it, so he could kill it. So that you and I, he did this on our behalf, so that you and I might be the righteousness of God in Christ. That we might live a life of righteousness, not our own righteousness, but we might live a righteous life that brings favor, purpose, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, that we might live the righteousness of God in the person of Christ. That's amazing to me. That's stunning to me. That's the brilliance of God's plan. My prayer for each of you on this Good Friday is that if you've never personally accepted that gift, that you would today. What a great day to choose to embrace the new creation by receiving the gift of Christ, the new creation that he accomplished for you 2,000 years ago. He's already done it. He just wants you to receive it by faith. Very simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, come live in my heart. I thank you. You receive a gift. It's not something you earn. You just receive. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, and yet you've allowed the enemy to deceive you that you have to still live like you're an Ebola victim, when the truth is God killed it, and you don't have to be controlled by that step ever again. You can live a life. It says in about the righteousness of God in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if by the transgressions of the one, say Adam, For if by the transgressions of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. The gift of righteousness is not just a standing before God, it's a lifestyle that causes a person to reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. And if you have that life, and yet you've been lied to and have lived a lesser life and a lesser story than the big story that Jesus accomplished for you, my prayer today on this Good Friday, as Jesus stretched out his arms in worship to his Father, his will, absolute surrender, that you would stretch out your arms in absolute surrender to him and begin to be what you are in Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.